Sports joining us here on the program. What's happening, Robert? How are you?
Thanks, guys. How are we doing tonight?
Awesome. Good. Did you have a good holiday weekend or anything like that? Did you make sauce? Did you make sauce this weekend?
I did the week before. So
okay.
The sauce is made and orders are being placed. So. Or being taken, excuse me.
Okay.
Hey, if I order a quart of sauce, do I get one of your books with it?
Ooh, interesting.
If you buy one of your books, do you give a quart of sauce with it?
How about, yeah, you buy a book, you get a quart of sauce, you buy two or three books, and you can, I'll supply you in sauce for a year.
have you got several boxes of those books around somewhere?
I don't have several boxes, but let's just say I've got plenty.
Okay.
Robert Gagliano.
I've asked my family for one of your books for Christmas.
Okay, well, keep asking. I don't want to give away hints, but I have not heard from said family member about a possibility of that. But I will keep that in the back of my cavernous head in case, because I'll do just about anything to sell some books here this time of year.
See, I'm disappointed because this book I wasn't quoted in, and I've been at all the border wars almost.
Oh, stop it!
He's very upset.
You were talked to.
You were talked to.
Okay.
Hey, my wife went to the Phoenix bookstore where the book is there. I don't know what she purchased there, but I can only think it was, you know, a Christmas. I'm thinking she probably purchased a couple of them because they're going to be used as Christmas presents. So I don't know. I can't confirm that because she wouldn't tell me what was bought there, but I'm thinking that, you know,
I think I've got a jacket that still smells like tear gas.
Well, even if you can't confirm anything that your wife bought there, tell her thank you anyway, just because she's really nice to begin with.
Absolutely.
Tell her thank you for me no matter what. So.
Absolutely, man. All right, Gags, let's dive into it. I know you weren't allowed to travel to Albuquerque for the game, but...
Nice way to put it.
You did watch it and listen to it as well. I mean, that was just domination from start to finish. I know New Mexico is just in complete disarray, but the Cowboys whooped them big time. I mean, what were your thoughts of that one?
You know, yeah. I mean, I know New Mexico was in disarray, but I didn't think they were disarrayed on offense that bad. And I certainly don't want to take anything away from Wyoming's defense because they caused a whole lot of disarray in that game, but I mean, they were, I mean, inept may be the kindest way to put it. I mean, but Wyoming dominated them at the line of scrimmage, and I mean, 83 yards. I mean, in this day and age of college football, guys, I mean, it's kind of like when you take a test and you at least get some points when you put your name on it. You know, usually you suit up in a college football game, and just by showing up, you get 100, you luck out and get 100 yards, but New Mexico couldn't even do that, but credit Wyoming's defense, and then, you know, Nico Evans just a battler. I mean, just how tough is that guy to run? And obviously Xavier Valladay with a huge game. Disappointed with how they threw it, and granted they didn't have to throw it much, but was disappointed in how they did. But man, I mean, I thought New Mexico, you know, last game seniors, you know, they had some big play capability, and even though they had lost six in a row prior to that, they had shown some of that, and I thought, you know, it's never easy for Wyoming when they go to New Mexico, no matter what. And I thought, you know, I thought this is a game Wyoming would win, but I thought it would maybe be close. I didn't see 31-3, guys. I don't know about you, but I didn't see that coming. But congratulations to Wyoming and those seniors and everybody. And now we wait to see if there will be another game. And we'll know Sunday, but I can tell you it's not looking overly optimistic at this point.
Now, we look today and ESPN listed all of their bowl matchups, and they're showing as of today, and with a chance that Virginia Tech could get bowl eligible on Saturday, there would be five teams more than there are slots available. So it doesn't look good, but you never know. You know, a lot of times, like the article I read said, they sometimes don't look totally based on record. They look at how many butts, you know, people put in the seats. So, you know, we just have to wait and see. I'm going to give me your evaluation. I thought last week, and I won't take anything away from him, I thought that Vanderwall actually did a terrific job in that fourth quarter. I mean, that was a great fourth quarter for him to bring the Air Force back. But I thought on Saturday his play and the passing game really kind of illustrated the difference between him at quarterback and Chambers at quarterback, in that it was like night and day between the two of them. And I think Vanderwall is good enough to beat the New Mexicos, and, you know, quarterback a win over New Mexico or a win over a lot, you know, the teams like that. But I think with Sean Chambers, you got to have a guy like that if you're going to compete next year against the Boise's or against the Utah States or the Fresno's or those kinds of teams.
Yeah, I'd like to see more of how Sean Chambers throws the ball. And granted, when he has thrown it, when he did throw it this season, it certainly wasn't bad, and he was, you know, he's fairly accurate, but they didn't ask him to do a ton in the pass game. And I guess that's more than I want. I guess I want to see more of Sean Chambers, the throwing quarterback, and seeing how that goes. And granted, look, the way they were running the ball, didn't have to throw it a lot, and, you know, they still were bringing Chambers along, so it's not like he maybe has the whole playbook down as far as the passing, you know, the passing schemes go. But I still would like to see more from him in the passing game. But, you know, Dad, I can't really argue with any of that. I mean, you know, there were some drops against New Mexico, but for the most part, you know, Tyler just wasn't very sharp, and we've seen that from him, unfortunately, you know, more often than not this season. You know, one thing that seems to kind of be a key with Vanderwall this season is when he gets off to good starts, generally plays pretty decent. You know, obviously against Air Force, even, you know, his very first pass, he throws a touchdown, you know, leads him on a touchdown drive on the next one. You know, there was a lull, but then obviously, you know, as you mentioned, Dave, the fourth quarter stuff, you know, even against New Mexico State and going back to the opener, what did he complete? I think his first seven passes, and none of them were really tough throws or deep downfield throws, but he was okay that game. It seems like when he starts well, things go okay for him, but if he doesn't, then he has a hard time getting into a rhythm and everything. So, again, you know, redshirt freshman first year, it'll be interesting to see how both develop. But I think it's safe to say when we saw Sean Chambers as his team's quarterback, things clicked more. But we also didn't see Sean Chambers have to, you know, go back and basically win a game with his arm or have to throw it even 20 times a game, you know. So we still need to see that. But I can't disagree with your point there with him at quarterback.
Is Nico Evans one of the best stories you can remember, from a guy who didn't do anything for 3 years to being one of the best running backs, not only in the Mount West, but in the entire country? And then the way he played, knowing it very likely could be his last game, win or lose, to come out and do what he did on an ankle that he probably had no business playing on.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, doing this for 20 years, there's been a lot of very cool stories, and even a lot of other cool stories on this football team this year. But man, I don't know, it's tough to top Nico Evans' story of the guy had 101 or 108 yards in 3 years before this, and I mean, he does that in a half this year, it seems like. I mean, and now the toughness, and I don't know if anyone ever questioned his toughness to begin with, but if they did, he put that to bed against New Mexico. I mean, my gosh, Keith, you're down on the side. I mean, you're seeing this firsthand. I'm just seeing it from a distance and hearing it. He was noticeably limping off the field every time he came off the field. And, you know, I was listening to you on the broadcast, which you did a great job, by the way. Even in pregames, he's limping around. And yet, you know, he runs the touchdown run, and he still has the burst, you know, and he's still running in there hard and, you know, maybe not cutting like he's shown he can. But I don't know, man. There's been a lot of good stories on this team and a lot of cool ones over the years, but I don't know if there has been a better story than Nico Evans, maybe in the last 15 or 20 years with Wyoming football. It's been impressive. And, you know, guys like him and, you know, Marcus Epps, a Burlsworth Trophy finalist for, you know, former walk-on in a three-year. I would like to see these older guys play one more game. Maybe that's selfish, but for all they've done for this program and what they've done this season, I'd like to see these guys get another chance to play a game. I don't care who they play or where they play it. I just like to see them. I just like to watch them play football one more time.
Let me go back to Nico for a second. Hadn't done much at all for 3 years. This year he has this breakout season. We know that there's four or five guys on this team that are going to get, if not drafted, are going to get, we think there's two or three that are going to end up getting drafted, not maybe high, but late rounds. Does his performance this year, do you think, does this get Nico Evans invited to NFL camps now? I mean, he's shown the speed, he's shown the toughness. Does this move him in a position where NFL teams pay attention?
Oh, I think so. Again, you know, going through the whole Josh Allen thing last year and draft speculation, I hate to look. I, you know, and plus, you know, the running back situation, the running back kind of genre in the NFL is a different beast anyway. I don't know if he gets drafted, but I would be shocked and surprised if he doesn't get into a camp. You know, I think he's shown an awful lot. I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't predict that, but I'm not saying that won't happen necessarily. But yeah, I don't think without a doubt that he gets into a camp somewhere. Absolutely.
I want one more game too for Andrew Wingard to break the Mountain West tackle record, and potentially I don't think even in one more game he could get to Galen Thaxton, but he's really, really close. It was kind of funny. Craig Bull took all the seniors out on defense except for one and left Dewey out there to try and get one more tackle. It was kind of funny watching that because Craig Bull knew. Craig Bull knew he was one tackle short, and I think deep down Dewey did. I'd like to see him have that record all to his own because there's another guy who didn't have anybody high on him, and he is probably the best safety in the Mountain West.
Absolutely. It's going to be interesting, guys. All Mountain West football team comes out on Wednesday, and be interesting to see who's on that team from Wyoming. And Keith, you were saying, I heard you on the pregame, and we've talked about this on the show a lot of times. I think Marcus Epps is probably one of the most underrated players in this league and maybe has been for the last two, maybe even 3 years. I would love to see both him and Wingard on the first team, all-conference team, as defensive, as safeties. I don't think we're going to see it, but it'll be interesting to see who's on there. And yeah, I'd like to see Dewey break the record. I know he's aware of it, and you know, you talked to him after the game, and he's very humble about it. He's 13 away from tying the school record. He got 13. If they did play in a bowl game and he got 13 tackles, unless he was playing an option team, that probably would mean that Wyoming would get smoked.
Yeah,
but you never know. But it's been a heck of a career for him, and he's also, you know, number 20, tied with Carmen Messina in New Mexico for the Mountain West career records. Tied with Messina for 20th all time in NCAA history for tackles, so pretty impressive for a guy that, you know, basically Wyoming was the only school that gave him a cup of coffee in the recruiting process.
I know we didn't get into any hoops. What do you have, Gags or Monty?
I was just going to ask: Are you trying to get any information on Gaffon since he had his initial appearance at Larimer County Court today?
I filed all of the proper paperwork or procedural things with the clerk of court or whoever the heck it is down there, and I've yet to hear back anything. But he had one today, but he also has something on December 10th
right.
as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that might be waiting until that all goes down. But I've done all my public information, you know, procedural stuff, and just waiting to see what happens.
Okay, Gags. Right. I know we didn't get into men's hoops. Should mention Hunter Thompson had his first contact practice since the concussion, so he looks like he's good to go for Evansville. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Gags, we appreciate the time, man. Looking forward to it again. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Gags.
There you go.